The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Melissa Fugaza.
And I'm Shelby Stanfill. And this episode, we are talking about Elder Dale G. Renlund's talk titled Accessing God's Power Through Covenants. And Melissa, I am so excited to talk about this talk. I don't know about you, but this talk was just one of those that really, it was probably one of my favorites. I'll just say that.
Well, I'm a little biased because I love the country of Brazil. So as we go into this, you know, he shares some things about Brazil and I just, that drew me in right away. But anything about covenants, I'm just so excited to talk about. So.
Yeah, so good. And the temple, I'm a huge temple fan. I know you are too. And so just tying it all together in like this pretty little talk was amazing. So anyway, well, what were some of your initial takeaways from this talk? Let's just go ahead and start there.
Well, here's something really interesting. So Elder Renlund starts with the story of him dedicating the Belém, Brazil temple. Now, Belém in Portuguese, it actually means Bethlehem. So Bethlehem, Brazil. And I thought it was the thing that I thought was interesting is, I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do because we do conference talks. That's what we do. But Elder Ulysses Suarez, a number of years ago, gave a talk and he also compared, kind of did a parable about the Amazon River and where it meets up with the ocean. And so when Elder Renlund started talking, I was like, are they going to use the same, you know, story? And no, it was a totally different story, but I love the imagery of it. And I just loved how he started out his talk like that, because it really kind of cast the perfect illustration of what he's trying to talk about.
Yeah, I loved it. So I forgot about that talk, but I do remember it. The one that came to my mind, because in the beginning, like you said, they're talking about the Amazon River, right? And how powerful it is. And when he refers to, when he's talking about the river, he's referring to the river's strength, but then talking about the great roar known as the, I don't even know how to say it.
Pororoca.
Thank you.
It's a fun word. My bag.
But he's describing that, or the great roar, because of the loud noise it makes. I thought about spiritual momentum that President Nelson talked about. And I just, the idea of this small, simple axe compiling into a big wave, and how it's important to keep that momentum moving and going. And so that was the talk I thought of. And it's interesting because I went to Utah this past weekend to do some bridal dress shopping with my sister. She's getting married. I'm so excited for her. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we on the way there, I obviously flew, and I have this thing for airplanes. Like, I always try, it helps calm my anxiety when I try to find a analogy about the plane related to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this talk, like, I saw it all, because I hadn't studied this talk, but when I did, after this plane analogy came to my mind, it just made much more sense and it made more connection in my brain, I guess you could say. And so basically, Elder Uchtdorf gave a talk one time about an airplane creating lift. There has to be enough lift for the airplane to actually lift up and go. And so I thought about this same thing here with this spiritual momentum or this wave going. You have to create enough lift or movement. And then once you're lifted up, all these other laws come into play that will support you so long as you keep them. And I think that's what the covenants are, right? Like, as long as you're continuing to go and do these small and simple things and make these promises and covenants with God, that gives you the power to keep going. Or, like President Nelson has said, maintain that spiritual momentum to keep that moving in our lives. And so I love the idea that it's just these small things that keep us going, but in the long term, make a huge effect on our well-being spiritually, physically, mentally, you name it, right?
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking, oh, I totally missed the opportunity to look up and see what Pororoca actually does for the Amazon River. I didn't do that. We'll have to do like one of those little 5-minute small bite episodes about that or something to see.
Conference talk short.
Yeah, because I'm curious. I think there's more we can get out of this whole parable of what it does to the Amazon River, you know, physically and everything. Because I think he found it very fascinating, and that's why he used it as an example. But I just thought about that. I'm like, oh, I should have researched that before we did this. Anyway, I'll correct that as soon as possible. I like that. I like where you connected the creating lift with Elder Uchtdorf. And it brings me back to another talk that Elder Renlund gave about, remember, like the rocket story that he did about the payloads that the rockets have to take. So it all is like coming back together. This is kind of a big deal. Yeah. The visual of this tidal wave going up a river and it being unnatural, that was really something that came into my mind, was like, is it an unnatural thing? And so I love what Elder Renlund says, where he says, it is not natural for us to be humble, meek, or willing to submit our wills to God. Yet only by doing so can we be transformed, return to live in the presence of God, and achieve our eternal destiny. And that, I love that, because he's right. It's just the scripture. It says the natural man is an enemy to God. And it's because it's not natural for our bodies and our spirits to be at odds with each other and to bring them together and those tidal waves of change. It's a struggle. It's a struggle every day to do that, right?
Right.
So I really liked that. And then he says, unlike the Amazon, we can choose whether we yield to heavenly powers or go with the flow. That really resonates with me, especially nowadays, with things that are increasingly more contrary to God and his will. And more people are just not even actively going against at this point, but they're just like giving up. They're just like, I'm done fighting upstream. I'm just going to go with it and see what happens. And so I think that is also really interesting.
You know, that reminds me, man, we're just referencing so many talks here. Sorry, listeners, if you want to see all the links to them, we'll get them to you. But that reminds me of a talk that Elder Bednar gave about how not making a choice is a choice. And you said that. You said some people are just giving up. They're just, quote unquote, going with the flow. And by doing so, they're actually making a choice, because that is leading them down a certain flow, a river, a path, whatever analogy you want to use, right? And so it is important. I feel like, you know, in our day and time, you do have to make a choice. And when you don't make one, you are making one. And that seems really silly to say, but it's true, because the Lord wants a people who want him, right? Who want to choose him. He wants to know that, you know, Shelby and Melissa chose to follow me. They didn't just happen to flow down the river and follow me. They actually actively chose me. And that reminds me of something that he referenced President Nelson, where he said, each person who makes covenants in baptismal fonts and in temples and keeps them has increased access to the power of Jesus Christ to lift us above the pole of this fallen world. Because it's so much easier to go with the flow of the fallen world. However, our Heavenly Father has provided this wonderful plan for us to be able to make and keep these covenants that will lift us above that so we can keep going and have the power to go. And when and the key for me there was, and keeps them, right? That's the choosing right there, whether you're going to keep it or you're just going to not. You're just going to go with the flow, right?
Yeah. I love that too. And that's so funny because the next, close to the next line of what you read, I also highlighted, it says, we can access the power of God, but only when we connect with Him through sacred covenants. So here's the thing. It's all great and wonderful. We make decisions. We are doing whatever, thinking that we're going whatever way we want to go. But really, the only promise of the strength and the power to overcome all the horrible is through making and keeping our covenants. And it's funny, we're talking about this, and I was just reading in the Book of Mormon today, actually, about, I'm in Helaman, the Book of Helaman, and I am now going into when Nephi and Lehi, so different Nephi and Lehi, right. Brothers, amazing, yeah. Amazing men. They were, Nephi was a leader of the government. He was the head judge, and he realized that it did not matter his role if the people were wicked. And so therefore he knew he needed to give that up and preach the gospel full time and bring people back. And there was a quote, I'm going to have to go back and find it. Maybe we can like put it up on our, when we post it and stuff, but there's just this amazing quote that talks about how there is no point in making covenants if you are not going to keep them. There is no point in doing these things if you are not all in. And that is where we're at, I think, now. We are either all in or we're not. And we have that choice. Like you said, we can choose to not. We can choose to not do anything about it. To keep this as like general as possible, some of the rumblings of people in our state and other places, not even just where I live, there is this kind of growing trend of people saying, I'm not actually very cool with what's going on in the church anymore, but I'm still going to keep going to church. I'm just going to let my temple recommend expire, and then I'm just not going to renew it. And to me, I think, what? You know, you made those covenants, right? You made those covenants. It's not something that you renew every 2 years when you get your temple recommend. It's something you renew every week. And when you go to the temple, you learn more and more about what you are covenanting to do. That's different. And it's this flow, going with the flow, or going against it. You really are. It's just down to those two choices. And really, the strength is through actually not just making the covenant, but actually keeping and following through with the covenants.
I wanted to read that quote in the talk. I actually pulled it up because I posted it on our Instagram this week. It was an invitation where he said, make a covenant only when we intend to commit ourselves quite exceptionally to fulfilling it.
Nice. Right? Yeah.
That was an invitation he gave. And so, you know, there's so much to be said about that. And I love everything you just shared. And I had a few thoughts come to my mind, but I will say this. There was a time in my life when I was at BYU Idaho, and the temple was literally, like a 5-minute walk away from me in Rexburg. And there were many times, I always say the temple was my therapy until I needed actual therapy, because there was a lot going on with my family. My parents were separated, but not divorced. It was just a weird time. And, you know, just all the things that come with that. And the temple, I was not endowed at this point. However, I did feel a big pull to become endowed because I felt like I needed extra strength to get through everything that was going on in my family, right? And just to make sure I make it out alive, I just felt like my world was ending, you know? And so although I did not get endowed till the next year, it was soon after that that I did get endowed. However, I went every single week to go do baptisms. And that is what I called my therapy, which I now know, right, like from this talk, was me going and helping not only my relatives that have passed on, but reminding myself of the baptismal covenant that I made and the power and the strength that I can draw on because of our Savior Jesus Christ to lift me and pull me above this situation and become who he wants me to be, which is really what he wants for all of us. That's why he wants us to get to the temple, because we're going to learn more about our Savior, and he's going to lift our minds to a higher and holier way of thinking so that we can become who he wants us to become and in turn help other people do the exact same thing, right? And so it's kind of crazy that people are saying, oh, I'm just going to let my temple recommend lapse, because that's the complete opposite of what all the apostles and prophets have been urging us to do is, right, get to the temple, be in the temple as often as you can. And so it's just interesting to think about these two opposites trends that are happening.
Yeah, I work in the temple. I've talked about this probably in every episode I've ever been in, but it has changed me. It has changed me, and I say that in the most humble way. I'm a different person than I was when I started working there. One of the reasons that I'm different is because I have personally witnessed people being changed. I've seen people come in and you can see it. You can see the burdens that are on their backs, and they come in and they, you know, scan their recommend and they go and do whatever ordinance they've chosen to do for that time. And I've seen them leave at the end of that lighter and more resolved. And I'm sorry, but that to me, that's a huge miracle. How that could be accomplished in 30 minutes to 2 hours or however long you're in there, to be able to do that, I can personally testify that that power is real. That strength that the Lord gives you is so real, and it is enough to get you through whatever you have to go through until the next time you come. And I'm personally baffled when people are not literally clawing their way into the temple. That's me. I mean, I know I'm more of a fanatical person than other people, but but really, with everything that's going on in the world and with everything that's happening, don't we all need that? Don't we all need just that place to just unload our burdens and set them aside? I always say that going to the temple is a selfless thing, because you go once for yourself, and then every time thereafter, you go for someone else. And that's so amazing. But in a selfish way, every person you do work for, and I know this to be true because I know they live, they're on the other side of the veil, they're in spirit world, but they are here. Every person you do your work for contributes to helping you fulfill your mission on the earth. And so it's that cool thing where you're going to do a selfless act, but you are receiving more help, not just from your Father in heaven, not just from your Savior Jesus Christ, but from your ancestors, from your loved ones. If Heavenly Father's greatest desire is for all of his children to return home to him, that must be the same desire for every righteous ancestor that you've ever done the work for. And what work is greater than helping you accomplish that? And so that's another aspect of the temple, and going in and keeping your covenants is one thing, but learning more and delving in and really knowing why and how important it is for everyone else, it's like a fever, and it becomes this desire, this true desire to keep going and keep doing these things for people.
Yeah, that's a beautiful testimony that you shared. Thank you for that. I know that everything that you said is true, and I wanted to share a quote that I believe kind of ties in. It's from the talk that you were talking about. It says, "We become his disciples and represent him well when we intentionally and incrementally take on ourselves the name of Jesus Christ through covenants. Our covenants give us power to stay on the covenant path because our relationship with Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father is changed. We are connected to them by a covenantal bond. I mean, what a promise. I feel like that's everything you just touched on in so many ways, that we become more like them as we go and do the ordinances and make these covenants for our ancestors, you know, once for ourselves, like you said, but then literally bind ourselves to the Savior. And by doing that, we're binding ourselves to our Heavenly Father.
Yeah. I just want to share another thing really quick about the temple in general. And I know we're moving into more of the what the covenants entail and all that, so this will be great. But I shared my testimony in my ward last month, and I shared this, and I just love this, because I want to say right out of the chute that, and I know I've said this before, but I was not always very excited about going to the temple. That was not something I naturally was into. I received my endowments getting ready to go on my mission. I served on a mission, in a mission that there was no temple. So, you know, couldn't go to it for the entire 18 months and came home. And after that, yeah, I mean, I tried to do the obligatory like once a month thing or whatever, but I would find myself, you know, trying to find excuses not to do even that sometimes. And that lasted for a long time. Ironically, it was when the temples were actually really close to me. And now that it's a little bit further away, I'm like working harder to get there. But the thing I wanted to bring up is that I shared in my testimony is one thing I love so much about the temple is the temple is literally the house of the Lord. I love going to people's homes because I feel like I get to know them better when I'm in their home. I see like their wall hangings or like what games they have out, or, you know, you get to know the personality of a person from their home because it's part of them. So something that's really simple and really obvious is when you go to the temple and the more time you spend there in the walls of the temple is the more time you get to actually intimately familiarize yourself and get to know Jesus Christ. And it is difficult to love and to tether yourself to someone you do not know well. And it takes faith, I know, but to get to the temple and have faith that you will get to know Jesus Christ better by going to the temple, that will happen. But it needs to happen on a regular basis. It's not just a one and done. I don't know about you, but my first time in the temple was quite the experience. I had lots of questions. It was very overwhelming. It was new. It's something that needs to happen over and over and over again. And as we become, I want to say this carefully, I don't mean overly comfortable because there's a reverence there, but as we become comfortable in the temple, we will be comfortable in Heavenly Father's presence. That is just the way it's going to be. And so I love, as we move forward in this talk, I love how Elder Renlund brings up the specific things that we do in the temple. That he touches on specific covenants, specific things that we should do. And I love that. So I don't know if you wanted to say something else about.
I just wanted to add to what you were saying. It takes going multiple times, right, before you start to feel comfortable what you were saying. I say this all the time because I health coach on the side. And I tell people, because obviously their goal is to lose weight, you took years to get to the point where you were at because of habits, right? Like over and over, small and simple habits. So it's going to take the same thing losing the weight. And it's the same thing here with going to the temple. You can't expect to go one time and have all your problems magically fixed. That's not how it works. I would rather have you in the temple, the obligatory once a month, right? Goal. Go ahead and make that your goal. If you don't have a goal, get there once a month and do that for a whole year. Then go maybe for the whole summer for like every day, 1 week, right? Like that's not what the Lord is looking for. He's not looking for, okay, I'm going to go a whole week the month of June, right? No, he would rather have you there consistently once a month than it's consistency over trumps. Sorry, let me rephrase that. Consistency trumps intensity is what I'm trying to say, right? So in the moment that you need the savior, you might think, I need to get to the temple. I need to get there. I need to get there. And you might start going, but then it kind of fades away when things get better. And it's when the things get better that you need to keep going, right? And keep that consistency, or else it's going to fade away again. And so I just wanted to add that little, I don't know, thought in there.
Before no, I love that. To as an ordinance, yeah, as an ordinance worker, one of our biggest things is we work regularly with the temple presidency. And we see trends, you know, when there's a change in how the ordinances are being presented, all of a sudden there's a spike in temple attendance. More people are, oh, they hear that there's changes. Oh, we're going to go to see what the changes are. But then and it never fails. It's usually a month or so after it kind of dwindles again. And it's kind of that thing. It's just the, oh, I need to be there, so I will go. But I don't really want to be there regularly, and so I won't. So that's a thing. And obviously, it's a choice. It's a choice we each have to make and prioritize ourselves to get there with intention. So I have to say this too. This is going into what we're going to talk about now, but I love how I feel like all of a sudden there are so many conversations from all sides about what covenants we make in the temple. I don't know if you felt that way, mm-hmm. but so really, really long story short for me is we got a new temple presidency it'll be a year in August. And they, now when there's a new temple presidency, they meet on a Zoom call for three or four days with the entire first presidency and Quorum of the 12 with all the other temple presidents. And they it's like 3 days straight of learning and all that. Anyway, our temple president, when he first started, he said, I really feel strongly that I need to share some of the things we learned. And one thing he said was, he says, I want to talk about what covenants we make in the temple. And so he laid out the laws. So there's the law of obedience, the law of sacrifice, the law of chastity, the law of consecration, and the law of, what am I missing? Pretty much dedicating everything, what he says here. Faithing him, salvation, exaltation, keeping covenants, everything the Lord has blessed us with to build up his church. That's kind of part of the consecration. So we're learning now, all of a sudden, it's in conference talks, it's in the church handbook, it's in all these places. I love this because I love how we can talk about these things. We could before to a degree, but I think people were kind of scared too. We can talk about these things so that we can better study about them and prepare for them before we even go into the temple. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree. I think my sister, I said earlier in the podcast, she's getting married and she found this, you know how in your home you can hang the family proclamation, the living Christ, the articles of faith, right? Like most people have those up in their homes. Well, now there's like this new design of the five covenants that you make in the temple.
That's so cool.
And she sent it to me and she said, I want this in my home too. And so I'm getting it for her as a gift, but I'm buying myself one too, because I love seeing those up there, knowing that those are the covenants I am trying to stay true to. That is what I'm striving to be. And they're all helping me to become more like my Savior, Jesus Christ. And realizing where that strength comes from is so empowering in our covenants. And I believe this is something that I really like that he said in this talk. It's a little bit down after he addresses the five covenants that we make. But he says, when we falter, the memory of our covenants with God helps us return to the path. By connecting to God's power, we become our own pororoca.
Good job.
Able to go against the flow of the world throughout our lives and into the eternities. So I loved that, because we are going to falter. Like, we are not going to be perfect after we walk out of the temple and have this amazing experience and feel lighter. We are going to mess up. We are going to sin. We are going to do all these things. But if we remember Christ and we remember our covenants, it pulls us right back and set. And at least for me, the Spirit always whispers to me, you can do this. Like, you can keep going. You can move forward. It's okay. It's, you know, like Joseph Smith was told in DNC, it's but a small moment, right? Like, mm-hmm. It will pass. And having that to focus and recenter, which essentially is our Savior Jesus Christ, is so helpful in your life. Who wouldn't want that, right? Who wouldn't want that power that comes? But you have to do the work to understand and feel that power and understand the covenants and do the things right. And all he asks is that we try. He doesn't ask us to be perfect. He just asks us to try and do the best that we can.
Yeah. And again, like, I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but if you go to the temple more and more, then you learn more and more, and therefore you desire more and more to do more and more good, right? And you are well on your way of getting to become more like Jesus Christ. And I love in the next paragraph down from where you quoted, it says, keeping covenants made in baptismal, which sounded weird, in baptismal fonts, keeping covenants made in baptismal fonts and in temples also provides us with strength to withstand mortality's trials and heartaches. I can't even really say much more than that. That right there to me is like, great. This is the perfect place for me to go because I have so many things going on, right? And I am not the only one. I know we all have big things going on in our lives. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of what ifs, big, huge life decisions we're all facing. This is why Heavenly Father wants us to have temples. This is why President Nelson is literally flooding the earth with temples. Because our Heavenly Father wants us to have these soft places to land. I can't think of a better testament of the fact of Heavenly Father's love for us than the fact that we have over 300 and something temples now on the earth, and they're going to still keep coming. And it's just odd to me when I think of it in that way, that we would not want to go there, but we want peace and love and comfort. And for those who believe in God, wouldn't we want that? We have a brand new convert in our ward, and he's amazing. But his wife is of a different faith, and she was okay with him getting baptized, but I don't think she, well, really, in my opinion, no, it's a fact, but it's the adversary working against them. But after he got baptized, all of a sudden, she wasn't okay with any of it. And now he's got to kind of figure out what to do. And I loved he's been texting my husband, but my husband let me read some of the texts because he said, look at how strong this man's faith is. He's literally been a member of the church for like 2 weeks and he cannot wait to get to the temple. He cannot wait. He is so excited. And so he had texted my husband, said, briefly, you know, I won't be at church this Sunday. I need to figure some things out with my wife, kind of see how we're going to proceed from here. He said, but the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ in this church must be so true because the devil is working against us so hard. He wants me to not go to the temple and I want to go so bad. And that I wish we had that desire like he does. Just that sheer, I'm going to get there. I'm going to make it. Even if I'm crawling on my hands and knees, I'm going to get there. And that kind of also goes into beautiful Elder Renlund's ancestor talk at the end of this talk, the story he tells was his grandmother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just all the things. And I love how she wasn't able in her mortal life to be able to receive temple blessings, but because of her baptism, she held on to that covenant and she knew that eventually she would be able to receive those other blessings. And she was via proxy. Mm-hmm. She was able to. And I love that. And the one thing that I love about the story, go back and read the story, is where he says, Lena lived as though she had already made these covenants in her life. I freaking love that part.
Yes.
She lived like she was going to the temple regularly and that she had received her endowments. She lived like that. There's just something so beautiful about that.
So I love that you brought that up, that she lived as though she had made these covenants, because I think that is so powerful. And it reminds me of the Book of Mormon, where the people looked forward to the coming of Christ, right? They knew the signs and they believed the prophets, you know, some did, not all, but some. And that that looking forward and that hope that I think there's a lesson there, right? That hope that the gospel of Jesus Christ brings, that maybe I'm not going to get this blessing right now in this life, but I will get it because of the infinite power of the atonement and all that that covers. It's not just right now, it's forever, it's eternity. And that is so powerful. And that's what temples are, right? They are reminding us of Jesus Christ and his example and his atonement and continually pointing us back to him. And he says a promise here at the end of the talk. He says, as you begin to walk the covenant path from baptism to the temple and throughout life, I think that's something we forget. It doesn't just end once you're endowed and sealed. There's more to it, right? He says, I promise you power to go against the natural worldly flow, power to learn, power to repent and to be sanctified, and power to find hope, comfort, and even joy as you face life's challenges. I'm going to keep going because it's just so good. I promise you and your family protection against the influence of the adversary, especially when you make the temple a major focus in your life. All of these blessings come, and I've heard us say multiple times throughout this podcast, why wouldn't someone want this? Why wouldn't someone want these blessings? And I was reminded of an experience when I was in Relief Society, and a sister who most of her kids are out of the home now. She just has one more at home who's a teenager. She said she remembers reading when Alma is talking to his sons and giving them counsel. And he's talking to, I believe it's Coriantum. Is that how you say his name? Or Coriantumr, I believe. Yeah, Coriantumr. And he's counseling him because he's the one that went after the harlot Isabel. And she said something that stuck with me because I am just now starting my childbearing years and having children. And so she said that he taught in that moment to him that he didn't understand something. He taught to his understanding because there was a disconnect between the commandment or the covenant or whatever it was and what he was supposed to do because he didn't do something in there. So when we say, I'm not sure why someone wouldn't want this, there's a lack of understanding, right? And so if that might be you or even like me, sometimes I don't understand things. What you want to do is gain understanding, right, of that principle or test that principle and gain a testimony. And what better way to do that than to actually do the thing that you're trying to understand, right? Because that's how it comes. You're acting in faith. You're creating that lift. You're creating that big tide, the Puerto Roca or whatever, right? That is what you're creating when you do those little small things. And so I just thought about that because there may be some of us listening who maybe just like you and me, Melissa, who just want to like crawl their way into the temple every moment. But there's also some of us who don't quite understand. We don't feel that desire. And that's okay. We can have that desire the more that we go and continually go, right? And that's the promise. We literally have the promise that that will come because of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so those are just some thoughts I had as you were sharing yours. And just this talk was amazing. I don't even know what more we could say. I think it's safe to say everyone knows we love the temple, but
yes, I think we've got that point across.
For sure. People are like, hey, we get it, Melissa and Shelby.
Get it, Melissa. Gosh, calm down.
But, you know, it didn't just happen overnight. It took me many years to come to the point where I'm at now, starting in 2012 is when I really started to now just wanting to go every second that I can.
Yeah, so. I'm the same. And it's that paradoxical thing that you're talking about where you want something, you actually have to do something about, you know, do that thing. I had this bishop once that said, if you can't understand an infinite principle, try to make it finite. So I think about that sometimes, and you'll like this as a health coach. It's like with exercise, you know, I hate exercise, but I do like how exercise makes me feel when I do it. And I do feel better when I do it. And I see that benefit. So unfortunately, as much as I hate exercise, when I do exercise, eventually, maybe one day I might always hate exercise, but I won't hate how I feel after it. And I know it's just something that I have to do, right? So it's the same thing, going to the temple, making your covenants. It can be difficult. It can be a struggle. There's things that go on in your life, whatever. You're fighting yourself. You're fighting your pride, your ego, all those things. Guess what? What's your solution? To do the thing you really don't want to do, right?
Yeah.
And then it all becomes a little bit easier. And that's just the crazy thing. But my favorite thing about this talk at the very end, he says, as you come to Christ and are connected to him and our Heavenly Father by covenant, something seemingly unnatural happens. You are transformed and become perfected in Jesus Christ. This is huge. This is coming from an apostle of Jesus Christ himself. He is promising that that can happen. All of us out there that are like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can do it. You can. He's telling you we can by doing these things, these simple things, and that we will be able to be transformed and become perfected in Jesus Christ. And I love that. You're right. This was one of my favorite talks. I forgot how much I just loved it until I went through and read it again.
It's just incredible. And I just want to end with saying one more thing. Don't, when you make the commitment to go to the temple, do everything in your power to keep that commitment to go to the temple. You can literally make an appointment to go.
Yeah.
And I promise you that if you keep that commitment, that time, whatever time you reserved, the miracles will happen for you to get there, but there will be adversity, but you just got to push through. The obstacle is the way, is what I like to say. And so just make it there and keep that appointment, and Heavenly Father will keep his appointment with you.
It's true. And even if you don't have an appointment, I can testify to you that they will find something for you to do. They will never turn someone away who comes to the temple with a recommend. We will find a place for you. And it's not just the temple I'm in. It's all across the board like that. So I challenge you, listeners. Just kidding. I invite everyone to go. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I feel like I've already accepted that commitment because we're going to the temple this Saturday. So
good job. There you go. Good job.
Anyway.
Is it because of this talk? Is it that powerful that you're like, yes, I need to go?
You know, I wish I could say yes, but actually, no. It's my grandma passed away. I always go on May 13th if I can. Oh. She passed away in 2010. And so I like to be in the temple on that day. And so we're going on May 13th this year for her, 13 years since she passed away. So, beautiful. You know, that's a great way to honor her memory and to, you know, get the closest to heaven that I can while I'm here on earth.
Yeah, it's true. So. It's a beautiful place to be. Love it. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discuss Elder Dale G. Renlund's address, Accessing God's Power Through Covenants. I should say Accessing God's Power Through Covenants.
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating, and you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get podcasts. You can find links to all our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
Conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts.
And if you want to follow me, Shelby, you can follow me and my husband at the Book of Mormon podcast on Instagram, on Facebook. It is Christ-Centered Conversations.
And you can find me, Melissa Fugaza, on pretty much any social media platform as myself. We can be friends.
I love that. While we always appreciate new followers, it is better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yeah, although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
So join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.